This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You're wasting that pick.
We're taking a look back at these picks so far with our Day 3 draft coverage.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Day 3 of the NFL draft, top of the hour. Squid Billy and Mike Johnson will take you through rounds 4 through 7, live right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and recap the Falcons draft for its entirety. Two picks on the board for the Falcons at the moment. They may trade up, around, down, out, who knows. But at the moment, they start the day with picks number 118 in the fourth round, which is fairly early in the fourth round, about 16 picks in, and then a seventh round pick. And so we'll go through the day and we'll see what other players get taken. And there's a lot of big name players and name value players that remain on the board, none bigger than Shedeur Sanders. And what's going to happen to him? It's going to be fascinating to find out, you know, which team does draft him. He's going to get drafted. But the question is, where does he go and who is he behind? And is he fighting for the starting spot? And, of course, there are a lot of questions that remain in this draft. A lot of, again, big-name quarterbacks. There have been 5 quarterbacks taken so far in the draft. You know, Cam Ward, number 1, Jackson Dart, late first round. Swappers went with Tyler Shough, which was an interesting choice from Louisville. And I don't know, maybe he turns into, we're talking about Tyler Shough in 3 or 4 years going, oh, my God, they got Tyler Shough. Remember when we didn't know? Okay. It's hard to say. Jalen Milroe was drafted. And Dylan Gabriel, but there's Quinn Ewers is still out there. Will Howard is still out there. And you're talking about Riley Leonard. And by the way, seventh round, the Falcons could, in theory, take a quarterback in the seventh round. Let's say they don't move off their picks. I wouldn't have any problem if they thought Riley Leonard or Brady Cook could be a backup quarterback in the NFL. Right now, I mean, presuming that they're going to trade, and they will, Kirk Cousins, at some point. You'll have Michael Penix, you'll have Easton Stick, and if they want to take a young quarterback, you know, they want to take Curtis Rourke. I mean, whoever they kind of value, who's there in the seventh round, yeah, we'll take a quarterback, put him on the practice squad, sure. I mean, I have no problem with that. So, but this next pick, see, once we got through the first round, I went, okay, as far as I'm concerned, the draft is over because you got what you wanted out of this draft. You wanted to address the situation, all right? So let's run the clock back here. So this time last year, we're going into the draft, we, Falcons, with the worst quarterback room in the NFL, right? And, oh, we have to upgrade the quarterback. So they go out and sign the number one free agent on the board and a veteran quarterback who's thrown for a gazillion yards in Kirk Cousins. And then they turn around and they draft a quarterback at number 8. And they go from the worst quarterback room to one of the best quarterback rooms. Now, it created all sorts of other issues in and around there, but there's no question that they went from one of the worst to one of the best. They have, this year, one of the worst pass rushes. So they immediately address it by making bold moves into the first round, get a little bit lucky, not going to lie, with Jalen Walker, and then James Pierce Jr. And everybody wants to kind of like poo-poo this. When on my Twitters and social, I posted this up, and I was saying, and you can go to my ex at John Fricke, and I'm on Facebook, just my name, F-R-I-C-K-E. I don't hide behind sock puppets. And I posted I don't know why everybody, you know, all these people are being negative here, and I think I just figured out why. I mean, aside from the, you know, kind of the track record of the Falcons not making the playoffs, is that, you know, and people were commenting, nobody's negative. I mean, read the comments on that post that I put up there. I don't see anybody being negative. I don't see it. And I'm like, you guys aren't hearing what I'm hearing. I just took 2 back-to-back calls that were not positive in Ali and David. They were not on board with this. on different angles. David was not on board with this because he said James Pierce Jr. got all sorts of issues. So he's not happy with the pick there. And so he's unhappy with the pick of James Pierce Jr. because he not sold. And he may, by the way, he may be right. Understand, we're all making assumptions. Everybody, good, bad, and different, we're making assumptions. And it's not the potential of the pick, it's the production of the pick. And I'm making an assumption, just like you are making an assumption. David's making an assumption. He's making an assumption that James Pierce Jr. and kind of the negative chatter about him is a red flag that should have caused the Falcons to not take this risk, chance, whatever, to try to pick him up. I don't make that assumption. I make the assumption that the Falcons, given the enormity of what they have to do here in terms of trying to, you know, win right now, and I'm talking about 11, 12 wins, I mean becoming really good right now, that they did all their homework before they did this. That they valued Mike Green versus James Pierce Jr. and came up with, we have a top 20 pick on James Pierce Jr. Because understand, you go back through the draft, and one of the things that's true of Terry Fontenot, this is an undeniable fact. He has always drafted somebody that was higher on his board than where he actually picked. Which is to say, he may have had Kyle Pitts higher on his board than four. And then, of course, we all know that he took Drake London, was higher on his board than where he took him. Bijan was higher on his board. Yeah, Bijan is the number two player in the draft. Then we now kind of know that Michael Penix, who was taken at eight, was on a co-number one line, we believe, with Jaden Daniels, co-number one, and he got him at number eight. Walker was obviously higher. Walker just kind of fell to him. It was kind of one of those weird things in the draft where I'm pretty sure they have Walker in the seven or eight range. Not out of the top 10, falls over 15. They obviously had James Pierce Jr. in their top 20. Whether you agree with it or not, I'm not talking about whether you agree with this, okay? Whether you agree with it or I agree with it is entirely irrelevant, okay? I'm talking their big board. In every single case, Pitts, London, Bijan, Penix, Walker, lucky, and Pierce Jr., these now six first-round picks were all taken as not only best player available, but extreme value picks. In other words, they were picks that were on the board that the Falcons had slotted higher than where they took them, okay? So they could have easily taken James Pierce Jr. If Walker didn't fall to him at 15, they could have taken James Pierce Jr. at 15. They may have had him in that range right there. And, well, we can't pass up. We got to take this guy now. And so, again, we're all making assumptions. Then Ali was another one who made an assumption. He's in the too much crew that they gave up too much. Oh, you could have just, you know, taken Mike Green at 47. Well, you don't know that. We have no idea how the draft works. It's like the same people who said, you should never have signed. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard because it's just like, oh, my God. You should never have signed Kirk Cousins because you could have just taken Michael Penix at eight. As if Michael Penix at eight was a lock, you know? guys, stop it. You know, well, you know, because what you would have been, oh, we're not going to sign Kirk Cousins, and now Penix is gone, so we don't have we'll keep Desmond Ridder as our quarterback. I mean, come on. So we're all making assumptions. I'm going to assume that the Atlanta Falcons have done their due diligence. And I'm going to assume that the future is bright for this team. Because I look at that edge outside linebacker room now, which includes Jalen Walker, James Pierce Jr., Arnold Ebiketie, who, by the way, once they changed their defense, you may or may not know this, over the last six games of last year, who was second in the NFL in sacks in the NFL? That would be Arnold Ebiketie, once they unleashed him. Jalen Walker, James Pierce Jr., Arnold Ebiketie, Leonard Floyd, Braylon Trice, we'll find out. You know, I mean, obviously, they don't value Braylon Trice at the moment as a surefire starter on this team. They wouldn't have made the moves they made. But that doesn't mean he can't be a player. So, and maybe he's not 100% healthy. Again, this is not what they're sharing with us, or maybe he lost a step. We don't know, okay? It's just hard to tell. And so, but the fact is that they have taken a defense that had an obvious concern that all of you, even the negative people, even the too much crew, even the questionable character crew, all of you said, we don't rush the passer. And they went, okay, we're going to then look at this and see, and we're going to, and they went to Georgia and they worked him out. All the players, they brought him to Flowery Branch. They went to the combine. They went to the Senior Bowl. They went through all of this and they identified the players that could help them most instantly help them. Instantly. Okay. We're not talking about 2 years from now. We're talking about right now who could step in and help them solidify and upgrade massively, hopefully, their pass rush. So they went into free agency and they got a Morgan Fox and they got a Leonard Floyd. They got into free agency and said, we need to replace Justin Simmons. They got themselves Jordan Fuller. So they went into free agency and made some moves in order to solidify things, right? And to upgrade as best they could going into the draft. So when they make these moves in the draft, knowing what they have to have happen from those moves, which is, again, you're not drafting on straight potential. You're drafting on production potential. Okay, so you need these guys. These aren't projects that you're projecting into the future here. When you look at those two guys, and maybe Xavier Watts as well, you're saying they're going to have to step into starting roles, or right now they're going to be co-starters. And they, as co-starters, Walker with Ebiketie, Pierce Jr. with Leonard Floyd, Xavier Watts with Jordan Fuller, as co-starters, they need to impact this game positively and do so from the first snap of the first game, okay? Right? We all agree on that. So I assume, my assumption is they've done their due diligence and that's what will happen. Now, it may not. And you may, 2 years from now, come back to me and say, did you see how bad they overpaid for that? Well, my answer to you will be, yes, I do see how you were right and they were overpaid. And that's why Terry Fontenot is now a scout for the Jacksonville Jaguars and not a general manager in the NFL. Okay, all right, and you win. But if that's what you're rooting for as a Falcons fan, you and I are just, we're not, it's not that we just assume things and see things differently. We're not even on the same wavelength, okay? I want this to succeed wildly. But if you're rooting against this because you want to be right over the team's value as a potential champion of the NFC South, okay, that's where you and I are going to, that's where that road splits. And I'm just telling you, I'm not mad at you. Don't be mad at me. You want to think I'm a cheerleader? Yeah, damn right. I want to win. I'm 52 years of Falcons with 2 Super Bowls and no ring. I want to win now. Yes. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Who do you think they're going to take in the draft?
Our draft coverage continues, even on the weekend.
This is a Game's Day 3 coverage of the NFL Draft.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Day 3 of the NFL Draft. John Freaky with you for the next 40 minutes. Then we'll take you to top of the hour. Squid and Mike Johnson and coverage of rounds 4 through 7. Again, the Falcons have picks numbers 118 and 218, that's a fourth and seventh rounder, you know, depending on whether or not they move them. And they moved a couple of picks yesterday, moved multiple picks. A lot of picks, actually, if you think about it. 404-726-0929. Now, there are other moves outside of the draft. There's going to be potentially other moves that this team makes between now and training camp. Everybody, obviously, is going to be looking at Kirk Cousins and what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins. The other thing is David Onyemata could be moved after the 1st of June, too. I mean, it's another area. The Falcons could open up quite a bit of money if they want to move on and make some other moves here at the start of the season. I'm not saying they will in the case of Onyemata. I'm just saying they could. And there's the Jalen Ramsey chatter that's been out there. Now, Troy Hendrickson, obviously not. When you're drafting Walker and Pierce, that's just not a move you're going to make. Plus, it wasn't really so much about the money with Troy Hendrickson. It was more about the draft capital that they would have to have given up, I think, because Cincinnati is asking for, like, multiple number ones. And so, and right now they don't have the money. Until they move Kirk Cousins, until after June 1st, they certainly wouldn't have the cash for that. And they may not have the cash for Ramsey until after June 1st. So we'll see how this kind of all plays out here over the next few weeks and leading up to, you know, the start of camp in July. So there's still stuff that's in flux when we finally get down to the final 53-man in August, right prior to the beginning of the season here. 404-726-0929. And again, guys and gals, there's no right. I had somebody yesterday say to me when I was talking up about, you know, being really happy and thinking that I view it differently than some people do about this. I think it's a swap of number ones, and I don't have a problem with it, is that this particular fan said that you're looking at it just on paper. And I went, yes, that's how I'm looking at it. Yes. You know why? Because it's just on paper. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Shannon. Been patient. I do appreciate that, Shannon. Are we lost Shannon? Who we go to next, Noel? David. Let's go to David. Hey, David.
Hey, John. Pleasure to talk to you. I don't know where the negativity's coming from. I'm surprised.
Well, I think there are a lot of people, a lot of fans who really, truly dislike Terry Fontenot. There's a group of fans that don't like Mr. Blank for some reason. I think Mr. Blank's done wonderful things for the community. I think he's actually done a really good job as an owner. I think he's done well. But, you know, we view things differently, and there are people that are just angry and mad. I mean, again, yeah. I think, David, when you talk about Atlanta fans and me being a 52-year fan, what do I have to show for it? I've got an MLS, I've got two World Series and an MLS Cup, so it's not much. And so I think fans are just so desperate to win. They always want whatever's next because they can't stand whatever's now.
I think the trade for Pierce was brilliant, just from a trade move, because, you know, I was looking at it going, basically, if you drafted an edge number one next year, you don't know if there's going to be a guy as good as Pierce. And again, production will show. But we could have well been trying to draft another edge player for the other side next year, and instead you got him this year. And that's I think people think because we traded the number one that it's like a two pick for one guy, and it's not. We got two guys out of the first round. And, you know, money's always better in the present than in the future.
I agree.
So we get it.
And we get it. And now, especially if you believe that the team is primed to win right now, and it's been 8 years. You know, people, they worry about, it's the old baseball thing, you know, they're prospects over parades. No, parades over prospects. But we're going to deplete our minor league. I'm like, yeah, I don't give a damn if we're depleting our minor league. Couldn't care less. I want to win now. I'm not worried about the draft. Talk to me about next year's draft next year, okay?
Right. And I looked at it from the other side, John, and I'm thinking, why would the Rams move from where there was still a lot of prime first-round talent down to the second round? You know, you look at the flip side. And additional picks, they really didn't get because they swapped second for third, which was a brilliant move on Terry's part. And I'm thinking they're just loading capital for next year for going for a quarterback.
That could be true. Yes, absolutely. I mean, that is absolutely. I think the latter is what they're doing now. They're looking at the future beyond Matt Stafford, and what they're trying to do is load up with draft capital, which is why the idea of Ramsey coming to the Falcons is not out of the question, because that could be more capital. I think what the Rams want to do is that they want to load up. They've got two number one picks now. They want to load up in the second and third rounds, get a third number one pick, and they're willing to trade three number ones to move up to the top spot in the draft. They're willing to sell their house and soul to try to get
right. So Terry found a trade partner that was in a situation we're not, because they took Penix last year.
Right.
It's
so
a strange.
I think that's exactly what Les Snead is doing. I agree. Because next year's quarterback class is going to be so deep as opposed to this, which is obviously not good. So I think that's what the Rams are doing. They're loading up for trying to make a gigantic move up next year. If they can somehow finagle, you know, they've got two. If they could finagle a bunch of other picks into a late first and have three number ones, they could literally offer three number ones to move up to the top three and say, look, we don't care about these three number ones. We need a quarterback.
Right.
Yep. I appreciate it. Thanks. Thanks for the call here. Let's go to Tommy. He's on with John here, 33 minutes away from round four, and the Atlanta Falcons will be on the clock fairly soon. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, John, just a couple things for you. I hear you when you talk about people making assumptions, but aren't we making an assumption with O. Jr. as the quarterback, because we haven't really seen him play a whole season, so we don't know for sure he's the man or not. He looks like it, but we really don't know. And besides the fact that they're about to raise the football schedule up a game here pretty soon, so we'll be having like 18 games in a season. I just want to throw something real crazy out at you. I know it don't sound right, but what if they go ahead and if he's available, grab Sanders? I mean, what harm could it possibly do? And you're getting a highly rated quarterback that everybody's passed on. We know why, for the most part. It's probably family related and the drama, but there'd be no expectations for the kid if he came to Atlanta. And also, these days, you almost need two dynamic quarterbacks to really make it and not worry about the injury factor, which we know is going to happen. But
all right, well, since you asked me, you asked the question, let me give you my answer, and then you can disagree with it. It's fine. We're just going to view it from different ways. I think the Falcons drafting Shedeur Sanders would be an unmitigated disaster.
Why?
Well, his dad's royalty. His dad is Dion. He's primetime. He's Falcons royalty. And there would be, like I walked you through earlier, an unbelievable amount of media, you know, dead horse beating if Michael Penix struggled in a game early in the season for Dion to be under pressure saying, why are you not screaming it at Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot to start your kid. And there'd be a lot of Falcons fans on this radio station screaming, start your kid. I'm under the impression, too, this is my second point. I've seen Shedeur play quite a few games. Now, I try and be as transparent as I can be, Tommy. I cannot stand his college. I do not like the Colorado Golden Buffaloes, their real nickname, by the way. They're my swampers of college. And that they're black and gold. And it kills me that Dion's their coach. But anyway, I've watched him play a lot. I don't think he's all that good. I just don't think he's all that good.
I hear you, John, but, I mean, at the very least, he would come in with no expectations of even starting if he even signed. And I just don't see why somebody's not taking a chance on the kid just because of Dion and the drama. You can shut
that's
all
not
that
it.
Out.
But no, it's the second the guy, Tommy. It's the second part. They would absolutely take if he were, you know, I don't know, pick a guy. If he were Joe Burrow coming out of college, the drama wouldn't matter none. You're taking him, right? If they evaluated him as a surefire day one starter, oh, this guy is special. If Travis Hunter's name was Travis Sanders, do you think that anybody would have said, oh, no, you know, well, there's too much drama there?
Right.
No, there is the drama issue. That is not the overriding issue. I'm trying to explain this to everybody. The overriding issue is most of the draft analysts look at him and most of the coaches as they look at Shedeur Sanders and say, you know, he's not really that good. I mean, it's not just the headache. It's a question of course worth the headache. It's just that he's not that good. And I watched him play in college and a number of times because he's my arch rival. And I got to tell you, I mean, he did some nice things. Look, it's not to say that he can't be a professional quarterback. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. I said, you know, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Trey Lance. Okay, you use that kind of as levels here. He's more in the Kyler Murray, okay? He's certainly not Lamar Jackson. He's not a franchise quarterback. And I don't think he sucks like a Trey Lance, but he's kind of a mid quarterback. You know, he's just, he's Bryce Young. He's a mid quarterback, you know, and so that's all.
Bryce Young is going to really come up here in the next year or two. But listen, I would
and that may happen. And Shedeur Sanders may turn into a star. Again, we don't know. We have to see what kind of situation he gets in. And all of this is possible, of course.
Right, but bringing him in with him not having no expectations of being a starter, Dion not having any expectations, and just having him on the team in case, not as our franchise quarterback, but as a backup quarterback. Yes, here.
No, there would be absolute No. There would be you're misreading this. There would be the absolute expectation that he's going to beat out Michael Penix. You're misreading. That's why I said the only place he can really go now, I think that for his own benefit, is he needs to go to a he needs to back up Josh Allen or Lamar or, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow, or, you know, he's got to go somewhere where he's the backup quarterback, and there's no question that he's a backup quarterback. When you're talking about, because you just said it, you're talking about Michael Penix, three games of experience here, and if Michael Penix struggles, I'm guaranteeing you the media, which will not let this go, will immediately be in Deion's face going, are you going to scream at Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot? Your kid has to start, not only on this station. No, you don't want that circus here, okay? Unless he's worth it, and I don't think they think he's worth it.
Well, they probably don't. And just one other quick thing, John, as far as Pierce goes, I believe he'll behave himself this year and maybe next year. And if we get that much out of him, we should be happy. You know, I mean, people are true to who they are. And if he has behavior issues later on down the line,
I'm not worried about all good. This. I mean,
yeah, well, yeah, I'm good for this year.
I mean, a lot of guys do. Hey, I want to get something out of the pick. I agree. I mean, I can't speak to that. You can't. Yeah, who knows? You know, I mean,
yeah, who knows?
We'll see.
Who knows?
We'll see. He flies right. He doesn't fly right. I can't tell you how it's going to happen. So right, I'm not evaluating him on that. They obviously have done it, though. Thanks, Tommy. Do appreciate. All right. I want to get the rest of you guys in here right before, again, top of the hour. We're going to take you to live coverage rounds 4 through 7 with Bo and Mike Johnson here. It is the draft. I got to tell you. I mean, could the Falcons draft Shedeur Sanders here at 118? Sure. Do I think that's a wise move? No. But that's just me. But if they did, I don't know. To me, that's a kettle of fish, a can of worms. That's a Pandora's box. It's all those things. I don't think you want to open that at all. But that's just me. It's going to be, and again, I've said, I could be wrong. I've been married twice. Got it right the second time. Second marriage is always the best, by the way, guys. Passing that along. It's a life lesson. All right, quick break, and 25 minutes away from the start of round 4. And live coverage of the NFL Draft on your home of the NFL Draft, Sports Radio 90 to join the game.
Get pumped for the draft.
It's our day 3 coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft.
With John Fricke.
On Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
Falcons have picks 118 and 218. Be interesting. I didn't think after the first day with Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr., the Falcons would be, you know, trying to draft another starter. I think Xavier Watts, the move up yesterday, I went, whoa, okay, that guy can be a starter. He and Jordan Fuller, at least a rotational starter. And I'm not automatically going to say that whoever they take here in round 4, presuming they stay at 118, and who knows, maybe they move up or down. But if they stay there, I'm not saying to you that they can't find a guy that can be a serious rotational player and help them out quite a bit. I've mentioned Zoff Frazier, the young corner, Cedartown, 6'3", lit it up at the combine. If he's there, you could grab him. They could use help in the secondary. That's an area that they need. Ty Robinson out of Nebraska is a guy. Now, I know I try and be as transparent as I can be. I'm a Nebraska guy, obviously. But I watched Ty Robinson play for the last, 3 years. Okay, the guy can play. And, he's a guy that can really come in and he can play. He can really motor. And so he's a guy that I'd be interested in. And again, I don't have a problem with the idea of them taking a quarterback in round 7. If somebody that they like, if Kyle McCord is still there, or hell, if Quinn, who knows, who's going to be there. Because 5 quarterbacks have been taken. But Shedeur, no, I'm out. I am so out on that, because if Shedeur goes anywhere that doesn't have a permanently entrenched starting quarterback, the very first thing out of Shadur's mouth is going to be, I don't know what took so long. I don't know why they disrespected me. He's been really good about this, but I mean, the shade will be there in there. I don't know why I was disrespected. By the way, I am here to compete for the starting job. And then it's on. Okay? If he comes to the Falcons, I'm here. I am trying to win the starting job over Michael Penix. We don't need that. Now, you've only seen 3 games of Michael Penix, you don't know. No, you're right, I've only seen 3 games of Michael Penix, and I don't know. But I like the hell what I see, that's for sure. He makes some throws, you go, oh my God. So, but again, we're all making assumptions, and all of us could be wrong one way or the other. Justin's with us. Hey, Justin, good morning to you.
Freaky.
Oh, that's Justin.
Good morning, Freaky. How are you?
Good, man. What up?
Couldn't agree with you more on the Shedeur Sanders. Atlanta. Drafting him would be ridiculous.
Be a disaster.
Yeah, it would be. It would be something I would not want to live through, even as a Falcons fan. With that being said, I couldn't agree with you more on this Falcons draft. Hopefully, we get a 26th, 27th, 28th. You know, blessings and miracles upon us. 32nd pick next year, 31st pick, whatever. But my thoughts going into the draft was I wanted Jahid Campbell because I didn't think Mykael or Jalen would be there. And the reason I wanted Jahid Campbell was this team has not been competing for the South, and I don't know why this gets lost. I don't know why people don't mention it anymore, but we haven't had a quarterback on both sides of the field at the same time. Since we lost prime Deion Jones, you know, we haven't been competitive.
Well, all right, just to be fair, I think the quarterback on that team was Rico Allen. I had people miss, some fans miss how important Rico Allen. Rico Allen was the guy. Go on. I'm just telling you, Rico was.
I get that, but I like to think that you know Deion Jones or somebody in the middle of the field that compete that can.
That's fine. That's fair enough.
Jesse Bates is that guy too. You know, Jesse Bates.
Right, he is at the moment. I would call him that. Yes, I agree.
And you know, so that's what I wanted. But man, I work weird hours. Work for Publix. So I woke up and I saw Javon Walker. I was like, Jalen Walker. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I saw the little Falcon thing down at the bottom, and I'm like, what the heck is this? I see James Pearson. I'm like, dude, this is ridiculous. Like, this is amazing. Like, it. I'm so hyped up for this. I think they nailed it. They did what they had to do.
You're breaking up real bad, Justin. I'm sorry. And by the way, love your subs. We'll say I think you're going to like Xavier Watts, too, and I'm going to be intrigued by who they take in round four. This draft, you know, which was already a home run, in my opinion, based on two first-rounders, could actually be four, not just two. Let's go to Robert. Robert's with us. Sorry about that, Justin. Hey, Robert, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing today, boss? This message, I have to back you up here, man. Please excuse these bipolar Falcon fans of ours. these two phenoms right now, I'll just go ahead and say it, that we just picked up. Remember that winning your end game that we had with the Commanders? Michael Penix Jr. won us that game like 50 freaking times.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts had a big hand in it too, right?
Exactly. We lost that game
because Younghoe Koo was injured.
Well, God bless Koo.
Koo makes that field goal.
God bless Younghoe Koo. But Jalen Daniels Jalen Daniels kept picking up first down after first down after first down.
It was the 1-1 battle that we were told the year before. You know, well, not told, right, but made the presumption of, hey, listen, there's two co-number ones on the board that are franchise quarterbacks, and we're going to take one of them. The others, you know, they didn't mention it because it could have been. We said, well, it's not Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. And that was the one. That was the future. That's why I think it's fair to assume that they have a franchise quarterback because he went head up with him on his own turf in the fourth quarter in that fashion.
And what was the whole knock? The second part of the season was we couldn't get to the quarterback. We couldn't set the quarterback. Well, if Walker and Pierce were playing in that Commanders game, Jalen Daniels is not running around picking up first downs like that on us. Game over. So I just called in because I wanted to let you know that I have your back. And please excuse these bipolar-ass Falcon fans, man. So keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep talking your talk. I appreciate it. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, look, Robert, and I agree. But again, it's all based on assumptions. I'm going to assume they did their due diligence. You know, and look, I'm going to see things differently than some other people. You know, the Kyle Pitts haters, I'm not a Kyle Pitts hater. Dude has played with how many quarterbacks? Matt Ryan at the end of his career, and all he did was go to a Pro Bowl in that one, right? And we saw how washed, and God love him, Matt Ryan was when he went to Indianapolis. Then he played with the Noodle Arm Twitter and DoorDash Dez and Taylor Heineke and Broke Down Liar. And by the way, with the Broke Down Liar, when the Broke Down Liar was good, Kyle Pitts was pretty good. And then he wasn't no good because the Broke Down Liar wasn't no good. And then he gets with Penix and starts making plays again. I just see things just differently than you. Okay. But look, the hate's real. Lee is with us. Hey, Lee, welcome to the show. Lee?
Jameis, yes.
What up?
What about, John Freaky, what about Jameis Winston?
What about him?
As a free agent backup quarterback.
He's with the Giants, dude.
He's with the Giants?
He signed with the Giants, yeah.
Yes. Well, I have.
This is why when the Giants took Jackson Dart, everybody went, "Wait, you have Russ Wilson and Jameis Winston? What are you doing?" Well, wait, you're drafting another quarterback? You know, okay. So they'll get another quarterback. They have Easton Stick now. I'm not overly worried about the backup quarterbacking situation. That is way down my concern list. At the moment, their backup quarterback, by the way, happens to be Lee, Kirk Cousins. And they may be stuck with him for the Ravens. Remember, Lee, they might be stuck with him for a good chunk, if not the entire year.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah, he would have been a good one because he could talk a good game, and he has more touchdowns than interceptions, though.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the whole thing just was too bad. I appreciate it, Lee. Thanks very much. All right, we're getting you to the top of the hour here, and Squid and Mike Johnson are going to pick up rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7. Again, Falcons may move in and about. They've moved quite a bit in this draft so far, and at the moment they're sitting at 118. There are some interesting players that might be available to them at 118. I've mentioned a few of them. Could they take a quarterback? Just speaking of quarterbacks, you know, they do have three at the moment. They have Michael Penix, Kirk Cousins, and Easton Stick. And could they draft a young quarterback? Sure. I'm not opposed to it. They drafted a quarterback. They drafted Riley Leonard in the 7th round. That indicates that they're going to move on from Kirk Cousins. No kidding. Really? Do you think? Do you think? Sometimes the media, some of the things they said, you know, through this whole Kirk Cousins thing, I just got the biggest kick out of it because they were so clueless. Oh, wait, the Falcons are serious about this. Yes. But look, again, it'll be interesting. You know, what do they do in once the draft is over today? Where do they go? Where do they turn? David Onyemata, what's going to happen there? I mean, they could stay with David Onyemata, but they could also, after June 1, they could move on from that. And they could be making more moves in free agency. So just because the draft ends today, considering especially and appropriately Kirk Cousins, we are not done yet. There are other players out there that they can make moves on, other veterans they can make moves on, and there's no reason for them not to be hyper-aggressive. And if that's a Jalen Ramsey move, that's fine. Fine by me anyway. So if they've got partners here, and especially this is... I had a Rams fan. Les Snead owned Terry. He just totally owned Terry. Les Snead has obviously Hall of Fame, but an aging quarterback. He needs a quarterback. This quarterback class... no bueno. Next year's quarterback class, on paper, because everything's on paper, is really good. Why it shocked me that the Swampers took Tyler Shough, unless they really believe he's going to be a star quarterback. And then, by the way, they may believe that. They took him fairly high, took him as the number 3 quarterback overall. But it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, because I guess if I were a Swamper, I'd be saying, hey, listen, let's go out and get, and they did, a couple of big uglies. Let's just fill our team with big uglies, and let's try and go 3-14 this year and tank and try and, you know, cut it all out here. But to draft a bunch of big, you know, offensive linemen, try and build an offensive line where they've been horrid, and go get Arch Manning. I mean, that would be the whole thing, because are you really going anywhere with Spencer Rattler? No. Are you going anywhere? Derek Carr's all, you want to talk about, broke down. And then of course they got like 4 quarterbacks on their roster, none of whom are any, well, ones who untested. I can't know if Tyler Shough is going to be any good, and one's broke down and a couple of guys who aren't any good. So I'm not really sure where they're headed with that, but I'll let them worry about themselves. As it comes to us and the Falcons here, I think that potentially there's another impact player in the fourth round here. And again, you know, Jack Sawyer is a guy that you could put at, you know, inside linebacker and help, you know, and he's a guy that could be a rotational inside linebacker. All he does is make plays. Ty Robinson, Zoff Frazier. I really like the idea of Zoff Frazier if he's to fall to 118. And I can't know what their big board looks like. And if they really like somebody, guess what they're going to do? They're going to try and move up. If they really like somebody, they will try and move up in the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes at the most. They'll try and move up from 118 because they really like somebody on the board, as they did yesterday with Xavier Watts. And try and get, because again, this draft is not a, this draft is not about quantity. It's about quality. And I said, going into the draft, what this team needs is two impact guys on defense. Well, now I think they have three. Now I think they're starting to think big, which is four. Because if they get four impact guys on defense out of this draft, I don't know how you score things. I call that a grand slam. It goes from a home run to a grand slam. And at least on paper. But we'll see how they kind of all break this out. It is going to be a fascinating day. Involving Shedeur Sanders. I hope for Shedeur that he goes to a place where he is not competing for the starting job. It would be the best possible thing for him would be to go to a place where Kansas City takes him in the sixth round and parks him on the bench and lets him learn under Pat and say, look, you're the backup for the next 4 years. That would be, the to me, the best possible thing for him. But we'll see how they kind of all play it out. All right, stand by. Rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7 live as we await what the Falcons are going to do. Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson, taking you through all those four rounds at the top of the hour here. I'll be back 10 to 2 tomorrow, and we'll have more of these discussions where you can, you know, cheer or bitch and moan or do whatever you want to do. You're Falcons fans. You're inclined to do all of it. It is the NFL Draft final day, and what will the Falcons do next? Live right here on your home of the NFL Draft, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.